Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. I'm grateful that God has given me all that I need and more than I could ever want. So I just thank God for a new day and a do-over. Hallelujah. So I pray that your today will be better than your yesterday. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for all that you are. For you are God, and you are greatly to be praised. Praise the Lord, everybody, with me this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I can't say it enough. God is good and greatly to be praised. Thanking God again for this blog. Father God, again, I pray. Thanking you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness, Lord. Asking you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight, for you are my strength. I say it again, you are my strength. And one for the Holy Spirit, Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I am nothing without you, Father. I ask you, Lord God, that the words that I speak touch a heart, touch a mind, touch someone, Lord God, that they will say, what must I do to be saved? But Lord God, we know that we are in some perilous times. And we know that only you, Lord, can bring us through. And I ask you, Father God, bring us through. Bring us through to your grace, to your mercy, to your loving kindness. Bring us through, Lord God, that we will walk in light and not in darkness, that we will walk in right and not in wrong, that we walk in truth and not in lies, and that we know that the reason for this season that we are celebrating is your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Thanking God for this day, again, that he made. Because we didn't make anything. We haven't done anything. God does it all. And we are just his humble servants. So I am thankful that, you know, I'm able to be with you this morning. I was having some issues with my technical situation this morning, early this morning. God woke me up. And it took a minute, but I got it done so that we could be together today. So I'm thankful that he gave me this opportunity. And I'm thankful for all those that are faithfully listening and faithfully listen. Because I know this could be, some people would say, oh, that's so boring. All she does is read the Bible. Well, you know what? This word is what we meditate on day and night. And that is what God has told us. That we must meditate on his word day and night. That is in the word, and we want to do what thus says the Lord. We want to have that Joshua spirit, that we can be courageous and that we will stand on his word. We can't stand without God. We will fall every time. And I can speak that I've fallen many a times because I forgot to depend on the Father. So let's get started. We are in Revelations this morning, and all I can say is it is a great word. And you need to get out your pen, your paper, and write some things down because we've had a lot of distortions in Revelations, a lot of distortions where you have folks that are basing everything on what some pastor told them because they didn't read the word themselves. So today, as you listen in, read it with me. Read it yourself. I am in New King James Version because it's the closest I can get to King James without the thems, the thous, and the confusion that King James can sometimes bring to those that are not word readers. And so my assignment is to read New King James, and that's what I'm doing. For those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. I have no idea yet what we will be doing. We may be in Charles Stanley again next year, or we may be in something else, but I know that our goal is to read this word in 1 year, the whole entire thing, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And we are going to do our best to get there by December 31st. So please join me in Revelation chapter 7. And the word of God said, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the seas, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And you have certain faiths that feel that they are part of the 144,000. This word is specific. Excuse me. It's very specific that the ones that will be sealed are the descendants of Abraham, are the 12 tribes of Israel. So they are descendants of Jacob, those 12 sons, and Joseph's too. So understand there is a particular thing going on here. And it's saying that it will be the people of the Hebrews who are of the children of Israel that will be sealed. It's not the Gentiles that have been grafted in. This is a separate section of the word, which we will get to this morning. But understand, the sealed 144,000 are the children of Israel. They are Judah, they are Reuben, they are Gad, they are Asher, they are Naphtali, they are Manasseh, they are Levi, they are Issachar, they are Zebulun. They are the sons of Joseph and Benjamin. Okay, that's what it says. It gives you a specific in this. It's not, they're not going to Joseph's kids this time. It's to his descendants, which will include his kids. You know, this is not the division of land. This is a different thing. So understand, when we talk of 144,000, we are talking the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. So let's get into this. And this is what it says. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Let's read it. It says, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. And it says, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And that's the title of our lesson this morning. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, y'all catching that, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a word this morning. And we'll do life lessons and questions after we get our Revelations word done this morning. Revelations chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers, on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound. Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Or their heads, on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who has the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Can I say that again? Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, jacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or the sexual immorality of their thefts. Wow, what a word. What a word this morning. We're going to go back and get some life lessons from this revelation word this morning. And if there's anyone that has something to say, I would like to speak. The number to dial is 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597 is the call-in number if you would like to talk about Revelations chapter 7 through 9 this morning. We have time. All I can say is, wow, it is a word today. It's a huge word today. We are going to go back and hit some Psalms and Proverbs. Again, they are the ones from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will go back over some of them because some of them fit so well within our today's words. But right now, we're going to hit some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And I'm saying this revelation word is so important because revelation has been switched up, changed. Folks got you all confused on everything. That's why we read this word. And that's why we're taking our time with it, because it is so important, because this could happen in our lifetimes. This could happen in the lifetimes of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We want to know the word so we can speak the word, so we can teach the word, so we can let our kids know you got to change your life, your lifestyle. Us, we got to change our lives, our lifestyle, to live righteous lives. Because this is going to happen. Everything the word of God has said has come to fruition. Don't get it twisted. God's word is true, and it's history. Go to any archaeological find, and a lot of what we have read in our Old Testament, it's there. Some of the things that we have read in our New Testament are there. Some things in New Testament haven't been found yet. But things are not going to be found until God allows them to be found. Because we got to understand, mankind is not ready for everything. We're not ready for everything that's out there, that's been buried, that's been put in caves, that's been put in jars, that's been put in different places around this world. God is not ready for us to have all revelation. But when it comes, be ready. And don't fall for the okey-doke of liars and thieves trying to give you a word that's not God's word. That's why we study. That's why we meditate on this word every day. But Saturdays, because Saturday, you should be giving personal time to God yourself. You should be spending time God yourself, doing what God tells you to do. It's his day. Every day, we got time to do everything we need to do. We don't need to do what anything on God's day, but do it what we do for God. And this day that we celebrate, that we recognize as God's day, this Sunday, you know, don't get all twisted up. It's still a day that we recognize and we spend with God. Find a church home. There is nothing in this world like someone dying without a church home. Just yesterday, one of our babies in my church lost their dad. He was a member of our church. And he's leaving children behind. And I tell you, it's no joking matter. In our church alone, we have lost parents. We've lost mothers, two mothers, and now a father have passed on this year. Children without parents. Praise the Lord. They have awesome aunties and great-grandparents and grandparents that love them and that have taken them and raising them. But I tell you this, nobody is promised tomorrow. And this revelation word is so important that we know it. I don't want to be in the pit. I don't want to go through the wide gate. I don't want to be an unprepared bride. Come on now, we got to get it right. We want to be right and ready when the Lord comes. I don't want to be here when them trumpets start sounding. Them seven trumpets is no joke. Believe me, when you read this word we just read, the seven trumpets is no joke. You want to pray you gone before that first one starts. Because it will not be fun. Let's go to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first is Revelation 7 and 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead. God knows how to protect his children even in the most catastrophic of times. The servants who are sealed here are all safe as well at the end. Revelations 14, 1 through 5, which we will read We've already read Ezekiel 9, chapter 4, verse 16, 4 through 6. But we're going to go over to Ezekiel one more time. Because the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, come on now, Jonah even with itself. But they were speaking souls. Jonah didn't want to do his job. We just read about him the other day, Friday. But understand, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they didn't play. Ezekiel especially did not play. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9, and we're going to go over to verse number 4. So join me in the Old Testament. And I can't help. Every time I think of Ezekiel, I can't help but think of Daniel. Because when you're learning the books of the Bible, how we taught our children in children's church was, you know, how we did when we got to Ezekiel. It would be Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. I just love that. There's something about saying that that just makes me all smile. But anyway, let's get to the serious business of the Word of God, which is Ezekiel chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 4 through 6. And it says this, "Pass throughout the city of Jerusalem. The Lord said to him, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the detestable practices committed in it. He spoke to the others in my hearing, pass through the city after him and start killing. Do not show pity or spare them. Slaughter the old men, the young men, the women, as well as the children and older women. But do not come near anyone who has the mark at my sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were in front of the temple. Then he said to them, "Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go." So they went out killing people in the city. And that was Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 4 through 7. Again, nothing to play with. And this is what Dr. Evans spoke on in his Bible. It says, those to be marked were the righteous remnant, the ones who share God's view of sin. God has always had his faithful ones, even when the majority of people are at their worst. And verses 5 through 6, we're not told how many righteous people were marked, but everyone else in Jerusalem was to be consigned to death, young and old, male and female, without pity. For more on God's lack of pity on them. See 9 and 10. And we're going to go to 9 and 10. Chapter 9, verse 10. And it said, "But as for me, I will not show pity or spare them. I will bring down their conduct down to their own head." Don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. Don't play church. Don't play with God because he sees it all. He knows our heart. He knows how we treat each other. Do you love each other? Do you care? And it goes on to say a great multitude, Revelation 7 and 9, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne. God not only redeems people from every imaginable point of origin and background, he also redeems multitude beyond count. His grace reaches into every corner of the world. Did you catch that? Every corner of the world. Faith and love and trust and belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's it. You've got to accept them into your life. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, well, you can believe in him, but you don't have to do all that other stuff. Yeah, it's a change. It's a lifestyle change. It's a hope in a future change. It's a belief thing. It's a get filled up thing. It's a knowing why you celebrate this holiday. Yes, those of us who read, we all understand, and I know my brothers and sisters saying this. Yes, that's how Constantine started it. But understand, if we can get one person saved, during this time, we will have done our job. We got to get them where they are. And if they want to believe in Christmas, but just remember this, there's no Christmas without Christ. So forget all the pagan stuff and think about it. Christmas, Christ. Keep the Christ in it and everything else will fall into place. Quit talking all that Santa Claus mess to your children. Tell the truth. Tell your babies there's no Santa Claus. That it's grandma, it's grandpa, it's dad, it's mom, it's aunties and cousins and pastors that are furnishing you these gifts around the tree. So many kids get all this fantasy. They ask for the moon because they think some jolly little elf in the North Pole is bringing it. No, it's mom and dad. And with COVID and all the things happening with employment, there are some moms and dads don't have like they used to. There's some moms and dads that can't give like they used to. There's some mom and dads that can't give at all, except for small things. Necessities like, I'm just calling it underwear, socks, shoes, and stuff that you need for church and school. That's all they can afford, and maybe a toy. But understand, don't get upset. Because when they know where it's coming from, your kids know your situation better than you think they do. Your kids know when you're going through financial difficulty. Your kids know all your business. When you think you're hiding something, believe me, there's always a one that knows it all. They are the nosy Nancys, and they blend into the surface. Because they have kids that learn to be quiet, as they say, to be seen and not heard. And them are the kids that know everything because they learn how to be seen and not heard. And they learn how to not be seen and not heard because they just blend in. And you forget that there you get to talking because they're quiet. But they take them in it all. And they understand that mom lost her job or dad lost his job. And there's only one income coming in. Or they know that the people in the household have been sick and that we got to do some things. Or that we lost our home. Or that we're living in a shelter. Or that we're living in a car. There are folks living in the cars right now that you don't even know because they got a lot of pride and don't want nobody to know that they've got hit hard times. We got to understand that this season is not about a whole bunch of stuff, but about Christ and telling our children the truth that Jesus is the reason for this season. Get the elf out and get Christ back in and watch the world change. Watch it. You know, you have different cultures that don't you mention the word Santa Claus. And they say, oh, no, we don't want nothing to do with no Satan. But then you say Father Christmas or Christ, and they go with it. We better understand we cannot keep going down the wrong path. And I know folks are going to get mad. Well, it's nothing wrong. Yeah, it is. Something wrong with lying to your children about where their gifts are coming from. That Santa Claus nonsense is ridiculous, and we need to get out of it. And no, my kids all know there was no Santa Claus. My children knew as little kids, and don't spoil it for anybody else. But you know the truth, who's getting you this stuff, and why you have to do what you're supposed to do. You know, this is what my husband and I did. My kids had a bad year. They had a bad year. They was doing all kind of stuff, not behaving, not doing their chores, not listening. But then about a month before Christmas, they buckled down. Too late. We've been telling them all year round. Understand, Christmas will come, and you will not get anything. Keep acting like you act. They thought we was kidding. They're going to ease in Christmas Day. They came running down the steps, down the hall, looking under the tree, and it was nothing but what they got from their grandparents, and that was it. There was nothing else. It wasn't all the stuff they had put on their list. What on there? Only thing was what they got from their grandparents. And dinner. That's what they got. And they looked pitiful. And what our question was, did you earn anything for Christmas? Did you do what you were supposed to do? Did you hear what we said to you? Did you clean your room? Did you do all those things? And they had to say no. And then we asked them, do you think you deserved anything? Now, again, God gives us unmerited favor. But we said, do you deserve anything? And they answered no. So they went upstairs after they had the big breakfast and after we had lunch and dinner that Christmas night. They went to bed thinking about everything, thinking about how they had acted, thinking about their year, thinking about what they had and had not done. And while they were sleeping, we put all their stuff that we had already got them under the tree. So the next morning when they weren't expecting anything, that's when they got the blessing of Christmas. And that's when we talked about Jesus all that day to remind them that God gives us unmerited favor, but you got to do what you're supposed to do. And that wound up being their best Christmas ever because they got the understanding that even when you do wrong, God will bless you, but he's going to make you think about it. He's going to make you think about all the stuff that you do, but he will forgive you. It's like we as parents forgave them for their bad behavior, but they didn't do it again. They did what they were supposed to do from that point on because they understood. Mom and Dad don't play. We don't. What we say we're going to do, we do. God does not play what he said in his word that he will do. It's going to happen. Revelations is coming. The question is, will we be ready? Life lessons. Revelation 7 and 17, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. This line is repeated later in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. It is as if God wants us to remember that though our tears will flow, yet he will personally comfort us. He will delegate this task to no one else. Hallelujah. Every time my kids learned this information, revelation, they listened. When they was kids, they knew Kirk Franklin's revelation. You know, revelation's coming. They could sing that song. And, you know, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. You know, they was in it. They loved them some Kirk. You know, I still love me some Kirk. I'm just going to throw that out there. Revelation 8 and 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Some of God's judgments and works are so awesome that only appropriate response is reverent silence. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Saying that every day, every Sunday. That was what we spoke in our church. Habakkuk 2 and 20. The judgment described in Revelation grew in intensity and scale as the book progresses. God typically employs escalating judgments to prompt repentance until the wicked reach the point of no return. Whew, Jesus. Revelation 8 and 4, the smoke of the incense, which the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. God accepts the prayers of his faithful people and treats them like sacrifices, offerings to him that cost the giver something and which honor him. In prayer, we admit our weakness and declare God's strength. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God. And
yes, I get filled up when I think about the goodness of the Lord and everything that he does for his people. God loves us so much. But the question is, do we love him as much as he loves us? Revelations 9:6, men will seek death and will not find it. Since God does not desire the death of anyone, when necessary, he will use severe mercy to get our attention and urge us back to him. Even severe pain is a good thing if it keeps someone from eternal death. God does not want us dying in our sins. He wants us to live life to the full. Revelations 9:15, the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released. Despite the chaos on earth that the book of Revelation describes, we still get indications throughout the book that God remains completely in charge. God has prepared these angels for a specific work at a specific time. Revelations 9:20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. Why does the book of Revelation repeatedly tell us that the wicked did not repent? First, because it shows the necessity of God's judgment. Second, because it shows God's desire that they repent and live. Revelation chapter 9, soften thy hard hearts. Revelation 9 describes the woes which come from the trumpet judgment. Certainly the terrors described there would make even the bravest person faint with fear. You might imagine that after all the wrath that God rains down, people would acknowledge him and repent. However, this is not the case. Revelation 9:20 reports, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. By the time the trumpet judgment sounds, there is a hardness of heart that has overcome people in the world. It is a truly sorrowful sight. People who are so steeped in their own sin that they will not acknowledge the living God. No matter what the evidence, the thought that those people will face the final judgment should move Christians to proclaim the gospel openly now while hearts are still receptive. Hebrews 3:13 admonishes, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened throughout the deceitfulness of sin. Encouragement and expressions of God's grace can soften hearts before the day of judgment. Today, show someone the love of God in a genuine way so that their hearts might be softened and they may repent. You may be instrumental in changing their eternal destination. Even our attitudes can change someone else's altitude. We got to work the work that we're called to work every day. Again, if there's anybody that has a word from the Lord that would like to speak, put the number one on your phone and your line will be open. The call-in number again is 213-943-3597. 213-943-3597 is our call-in number. And if there's anyone that has a word from the Lord to speak, now is the time. If not, we are wrapping it up early today. And just remember one more time, salvation belongs to our God on his throne and to the Lamb. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, the word for this morning is simple. Good morning. The same God who started a good work in your life is the same God who will complete it. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday, family. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to work for God. Remember, who is the author and finisher of everything? It is our Lord. Have a blessed day, family. Again, this is all I have this morning because we really did read our Psalms and Proverbs on Friday. So So we're going to start tomorrow morning in Micah, chapter 5, 4 and 5. We will have our psalm, which will be Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, and Revelation chapter 10. So thank you so very much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful Sunday. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you cannot attend, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church on YouTube, on Facebook. If it's your church, tune in so you get a word from your pastor and from your church members. Remember, God is in charge of everything. And because he is, all we have to do is change and be worthy to be blessed, to know that we are sons and daughters of God. And God gives us, yes, a merited favor. But let's try to get some merited favor because we're doing what's right. Teach your children right and wrong. And please pray for Bullet Breeze families at this season because it's very difficult for those of us who have lost loved ones at this time. So please keep bereaved families and those that have lost loved ones in your hearts and your minds and your spirit, because Christmas time, mothers, for those that have lost mothers and godmothers and TTs and those that feel like mothers, Mother's Day is difficult. For those that have lost fathers and fathers-in-laws and father figures in their life, Father's Day is hard. It's hard. And for children, those days are hard. Remember, this time, this season, this Christmas time is really difficult for those that have lost those loved ones that have gone on in this year and those that have gone on in previous years. It's difficult, especially if this time of year was always special to the person that you miss and that you love. Keep your families in your prayers. If this is a great time, that if you have an aunt against a brother or a sister, to repent, to forgive, to let it go. This is a great time to get back into the loving business, as our Father told us, to love one another as we love ourselves. So keep God first. Thank him for everything. And be blessed, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that you are his and he is yours, and he loves you more than anything. Be blessed. It's a wrap.